ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇ ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷ್ವಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ. ಭಗವತ್ಯುತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕಿ. ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀ ನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. So I welcome all of you for this Krishna Sayanam in English, and we are discussing the Chitraketu's pastime. I didn't fully get into the pastime in the last class. We were in text number 54 and 55. The actual heart of the pastime we will be discussing now today. Actually, this pastime is given in multiple chapters, but we are coming to the vital aspect of the pastime today. This is a situation where the queen and the king, they are encountering their child Harshashoka when he has passed away. So, in the background of this pastime which we heard last time, you remember that we were saying how Chitraketu was paying deaf ears to Angiramuni in the beginning when Angiramuni came to him. When a person's mind is overly attached to doing something material in this world, then the spiritual subject is not able to penetrate the ears. It's like taking a needle and trying to pierce a mild steel plate. Take a steel plate and try to pierce the needle, you can't. Whereas when you take a needle and pierce a banana, you can easily pierce it. Similarly, when our heart is soft and longing to, you know, get the audience of the Lord, then we can pay attention. Then the knowledge sinks in our heart directly. But as far as Chitraketu was concerned, in the beginning we found he was polite, he was respectful. You know, he even welcomed the Rishi Angira, washed his feet, sat at his feet. So there was no shortage of etiquettes, good behavior. Like we see many of the pious Indians today. You can see that they are very pious, and they will give you some dry fruits to eat. They will, you know, they will welcome you. They will garland you. All that they are ready to do, because they know that the saints should not be disrespected. The saints should be welcomed with great reverence. They do that very well. Then after that comes to hear some upadesh and apply some lessons in one's life and make spiritual progress. Oh, that is something which they feel that they can always postpone to the last part of life. They think there is ample of time available for that. That was the situation with whom? Chitraketu also. He was paying deaf ears. So he was not in the real platform to listen to the scriptural message. So therefore, in our life, we can learn a very important lesson from Chitraketu. that we have to transcend mundane piety and come to the platform of true spirituality. True spirituality actually means one should be willing to hear, eager to hear and apply the instruction. Actually, the Shastras prescribe many other things, like, you know, welcoming a saintly person, giving him a sitting place, washing the feet, or offering flowers in the feet, you know, offering some food to eat, and speak politely. All that is actually like a decoration only. But the real substance of the whole welcome of a saintly person is the hearing part. Hear the good instructions, sermons given, and applying lessons. Like our Bhagavatam, Krishna Rasayanam is a very simple program. I have only a simple desk and a simple Bhagavatam. But in some places you will find this type of katha program, they make it very grand. If any of you have seen, they will have a stage, lot of arrangements on the stage, lighting, and a big elevated seat, and the asana for the speaker will be much bigger. And then there will be a lot of flower decorations and announcements and you know, first of all, to bring Bhagavatam, they bring in a silver chariot. Bhagavatam itself and all that Vaishya family members, you will see, they will come. Then after that, they will bring the Guruji also. And that the whole idea of all this thing is what the goal. One time I had gone for one such program. Of course, not to speak in the program. They told me to speak first 15-20 minutes. Then one Swamiji was supposed to speak the entire 7 days. So they told me to give an introduction. So I gave introduction to Bhagavatam 20 minutes. So, I saw how gorgeous the program was. Almost 1 kilometer the silver chariot was going. I told nobody is sitting in the chariot. They said, no, Bhagavat is sitting. They had kept Bhagavatam. I also walked with them. All the ladies were dressed in saris. All the ladies looked like Yashodhara Maharani and gopis. They were dressed like that. Many, I think, probably Gujarati ladies, I think. And the men were also decorated with turban and sherwani and, pajama and all that, that kind of thing. And they all went almost 1 kilometer, then they kept the Bhagavatam on the top, elevated seat. Then again they were going back. I asked, where are you going again? They said, to bring the Swamiji. And again they brought Swamiji in the silver chariot, and then they put the Swamiji in front of Bhagavatam. Then they gave me a seat nearby and made me speak 20 minutes. So, but before I was about to speak, I looked, the audience, I saw the women's side was houseful, packed. And the men's side, the youngest man I found was 80 years old at least. Nobody lesser than that. And they were also very scanty. They were only around 20-30 of them. And they were sitting way behind in the chairs only. The men's side was fully empty. Mata's side was houseful. Today is opposite actually. More men have come now. I think our boys have occupied half the place, I think. Anyway, I saw that. Then I asked the organizers, should I wait? I think men are yet to arrive. They were in procession. He said, oh, you can start, he said. I said, what about the men? No, they won't come. He said, why? They are all businessmen. They have to go for their respective business. But I saw them in the procession. Respecting Swamiji and the Bhagavatam, they came. Now, once they delivered Swamiji and Bhagavatam on the stage, now they are back to their business. So, then I told my Lord, this is like a capsule without medicine inside. Only the external capsule. These fellows have forgotten to take the actual medicine. So, but why this kind of gorgeous arrangements are made sometimes for Bhagavatam? The whole idea is people take it seriously. Because you build a big temple like, NVCC, then more people come. If you are sitting in Kunjibari temple, not so many come. Here, yearly 10 lakh people come. Why? When you make a very grand arrangement, people come. But since this program is mostly for devotees, I told them no need to make gorgeous arrangement. Keep it simple. Because devotees capture the substance. They don't go by the package. So, which is important? Substance is important, package is important. Substance. Otherwise, only package. Imagine somebody gives you a gift, big gift. You open and see nothing is inside. Isn't it? What is the use of only package? So, problem with Chitraketu was, the package part was very good. He was very respectful and everything. But he was not in a mood to listen. See, there are two reasons why we may not want to listen. Either we have no respect for the speaker, person. Then we may not want to listen. We think it's a waste of time, boredom. Or, we have lot of respect and piety. We are very, very pious. But we are not in a mood to listen because of we are stuck in piety. One time when my spiritual master had come to Pune, some devotees came and told, Maharaj, thank you so much for coming. You have come all the way to Pune and gave a wonderful program. And then Maharaj said, which point you liked in my lecture the most? He asked. They said, oh, sorry, we could not be in your lecture. You know, we were in the kitchen, we were a little busy or something. And Maharaj said, see, I have come here to speak. Therefore, you all can hear. So, the Guru's greatest contribution in the disciple's life is the sound vibration, which has to be taken very seriously. And poor Chitraketu was not aware of it. So, therefore, Angira Muni thought that this is not the correct time for me to give him. Another occasion I will give him, he thought, spiritual knowledge. Because otherwise it will be like pouring ghee in ashes. It will fall in deaf ears. You may go on speaking, but he may not take it at all. So then he saw, what does he want? He wanted a child. but he had no putra bhagya in his account. But still, Angira Muni said, okay, in case you insist, then I can bestow that benediction upon you. Then he gave him. And he told him that this fellow will be the cause of your suffering. And happiness both. So, initially the child gave him happiness. And when the child passed away, there was suffering. Terribly for both the king and queen. So, another thing we learned was about how the other queens, co-wives of Kritadyuti, they became envious. In this world, if you possess something and you may want to show off to others, the more you show off, many will be excited externally, but burning internally. People externally will express their excitement saying, everything they will say, wonderful, great. You bought a new Mercedes-Benz car, you show it to your friend. Friend will say, great, you got a Benz car. Come on, I can only dream about it. You really got it. But inside his mind, he'll be thinking, how this fool got it? We both studied in same college. I was always ahead of him in studies. How this fellow got it? I couldn't get one. I'm still riding a Maruti or something. So you will find amongst men, when you show off the things, similarly amongst women, when they show off their beauty, if one beautiful woman is standing in a place and another woman comes there can be envy between them. Why she is more attractively decorated than me? And in the same manner in every field, whether you are a businessman, you are a student, you are a woman, you are even amongst children, there can be competition. Because this world is actually permeated with envy. And that's what happened with Kritadyuti. When she got the child, all the other queens, they were burning with envy. In case somebody has something which I don't have, then I will make sure that something is taken away from that person also. So he'll be equal to me. That is the tendency of envy and insecurity. So therefore, they hatched a plot and arranged to finish the child. And what follows is what we are reading now. That 54 was the queen. Actually, the queen is going to speak many verses, and the king also, his situation when you read it. And then what follows will be very, very important philosophy for all of us to know in life, because it will help us lead a very balanced life. Therefore, this first time is very special. And this is text number 54.
Aho vidhatastvamativa balisho yastvatmasrishtya pratirupamihase parenu jivatya parasya yamratir viparyayasche tvamasidruva paraha.
She's telling, aho vidata, oh providence. Providence means God only ultimately. God only is making the fate, no? So, oh God, she's telling, Tvam Ativa Balisho, you are no better than a child, she's telling. So, she is actually criticizing God here. You are like a child. Why? Yastu Atma Srishti అప్రతిరూపం ఈగసే. యాక్చువల్లీ యూ హ్యావ్ మేడ్ దిస్ క్రియేషన్ బట్ యూ ఆర్ యాక్చువల్లీ నాట్ ఫాలోయింగ్ ద లాస్ దట్ యూ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ హ్యావ్ క్రియేటెడ్. యు ఆర్ బ్రేకింగ్ యువర్ ఓన్ లాస్, షీ సెల్లింగ్. వాట్ ఈస్ దట్? ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ద ఎల్డర్లీ పర్సన్ ఇస్ సపోజ్ టు డై ఫస్ట్ అండ్ దెన్ ద యంగర్ పర్సన్ ఇస్ సపోజ్ టు డై. లైక్ ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ గ్రేట్ గ్రాండ్ ఫాదర్ విల్ డై, దెన్ గ్రాండ్ ఫాదర్, దెన్ హిస్ సన్, దెన్ హిస్ సన్, లైక్ దట్ ఇట్ ఇస్ సపోజ్ టు హ్యాపన్. బట్ నౌ యూ మేడ్ దట్ లా అండ్ యూ హ్యావ్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ బ్రోకన్ దట్ లా. ద ఫాదర్ ఇస్ అలైవ్ అండ్ ద సన్ చైల్డ్ హ్యాస్ పాస్డ్ అవే. వాట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ రూల్ ఇస్ దిస్ దట్ యు ఆర్ అనేబుల్ టు ఫాలో ద లా? అండ్ దెన్ షీ సేయింగ్ యా పరే ను జీవతి, దట్ మీన్స్ ద ఫాదర్ ఇస్ స్టిల్ లివింగ్, ఆ పరస్య యామరతిర్, బట్ ద సన్ ఇస్ పాసింగ్ అవే. విపరీయశ్చేత్వం అసి ధ్రువ పరః. వాట్ ఈస్ దిస్ కాంట్రడిక్టరీ యాక్షన్ దట్ యు ఆర్ డూయింగ్? షీస్ ఆస్కింగ్ యు ఆర్ కాంట్రడిక్టింగ్ యువర్ ఓన్ లాస్, దేర్ ఫార్ యు ఆర్ నాట్ మర్సిఫుల్. షీ సేయింగ్ నహి క్రమశ్చేత్ ఇహ మృత్యు జన్మనోః
శరీరిణామస్తు తదాత్మకర్మభిః యస్నేహ పాశో నిజ సర్గ వృద్ధయే స్వయం కృతస్తే తమిమం వివృశ్చసి.
Then she is telling, okay, God may argue back, and that she is telling, that according to his karma, he died early. According to that fellow's karma, he will live longer. So the father may live till 95, and the son may, you know, pass away in 55 only. It can happen like that. Or this child is passing in 5 years only. According to his karma, he is dying. According to his karma, he is living. Like that we may say, she is telling. If you say like that, that means you are not Supreme God. Karma is supreme, she is telling. Therefore, what is the need of you, God? You get lost from here, like that she is telling. There is no need of you because you have no control over the people's karma, that karmic reactions that they are carrying with them. You understand this argument? If everybody is going to suffer and enjoy their karmic reactions, then karmic reactions are supreme. You are not supreme, like that she is telling. And another thing she is telling, that if this material world is not in your control and karma is in control of everything, then in this world when people beget children, nobody will show affection to the children. She is telling, why? Because people will be afraid. If I show affection, then the child passes away first, like Harshashoka passed away, then I will be subjected to great pain. Therefore nobody will show affection, she is telling. Is it true? In this world, nobody knows who will pass when. Therefore, people continue to give affection. You will see that. She is simply bluffing. Simply out of anger, she is speaking like this. And therefore, that is the point she is telling. Since you have cut the bonds of affection that compel a parent to raise his child, you appear inexperienced and unintelligent. She is calling God as inexperienced and unintelligent, but she herself is speaking unintelligently.
Tvam tatanarhasi cha mam kripanamanatham tyaktum vichakshva pitaram tava shoka taptam anjastarema bhavata aprajat అంజస్తరేమ భవతా ప్రజ దుస్తరం యద్ ద్వాంతం న యాహ్య కరుణేన యమేన దూరం.
షీ టెల్లింగ్ ద బాయ్, హే త్వం తాత, ఓ మై డియర్ సన్, నా అర్హసి చ మాం కృపణాం అనాథాం, లీవింగ్ మీ అనాథ్ బిహైండ్, మై డియర్ చైల్డ్, హౌ క్యాన్ యూ గో అహెడ్? యూ కాంట్ డూ దాట్. She is telling, tyaktum vichakshva pitaram tava shoka taptam. Look at your father, how miserable he is, how much he is subjected to shoka tapam, shoka taptam, he is actually burning in lamentation, my son. She is telling, anjastarema bhavata apraja dustaram yad, without you, who will perform the pindada kriya for us, for delivering the parents? Every father requires a son to perform the shraddha and deliver him. If you go away, then how will we be delivered? And then we will go to darkest hellish regions, she is telling.
Vantam na yahi akarunena yamene duram.
That merciless Yama is taking you along with him, but do not go with that cruel fellow. You come back, like this she is telling. She is ordering the child. Actually, Prabhupada writes in the one of the purports that for those who are Vaishnavas, if they are chanting the holy names, that holy name itself is a deliverer, not only to the Pitruloka, but it can actually liberate a person's all reactions. But this type of the Pindada Kriya that she is talking about, it is only for those who are Karmis, Jnanis, Yogis. Those, it's compulsory for them, because otherwise they can become ghosts or something like that. But one who has become a devotee, Prabhupada writes in one of the purports actually, you all know Muralidhar Prabhu, for example, in Bombay. He performs so many puja and yajna for many homes. When he purchased a new house, for that he called all the devotees from the temple and they did kirtan. That was the main program first they had, opening of the house. I don't know whether later on they had a Griha Pravesha or something. The whole idea is the holy name takes precedence over everything else. Actually, here Narada Muni himself is there, who is awarder of the holy name. And she is not able to take advantage. She is depending on Pindada Kriya more. Pindada Kriya is a material ritual. But holy name is spiritual, beyond this creation. It can take a person back to Godhead. But she is unaware, therefore she is criticizing God also. And 57.
Uttishta tata taime shishavo vayasyas Tvamahvayanti nrupanandanasim samvihartum Suptaschiram hyashanaya chabavan parito Bhungshvastanam pibashucho haranasvakanam.
She is telling Uttishta tata. Now see, this is called denial mode. Denial means what? She is not ready to accept that the child has passed away. She is so attached to child that she wants to deny the fact that he has passed away. This you can see in some people. So what she is telling, Uttishta tata, my dear son, don't keep lying down like this, get up now, like this she is telling. And taime shishavo vayasyas. Vayasyas means your equal aged friends. They are all playing out there and they are all waiting for you, my child, get up. Go and play, like that she is telling. Tvam ahvayanti. They are calling you. Nripanandana, oh son of the king. Sambihartam, go and play with them. Vihartam means to play. Go and play with them, she is telling. Suttaschiram, hey, you are sleeping for too long a time. You don't deserve to lie so long. See, actually, when the nurse came to pick up the child and take the child to garden as per the order of the queen, she, as soon as she saw the child, child's eyes were like this, you know, looking upwards. And there was no breathing coming. She put a cotton, there was no breathing happening. At that time, she struck on her chest and loudly cried, Hatasmi, oh, damn, you know, I am dead, she said, and gave out a loud wailing. Then the queen came. Now the queen is seeing the child's eyes are upward, and there is no breathing happening. But still she is not accepting the fact that the soul has passed away out of the body. She is telling, Suptaschiram, you are sleeping for a long time. Not only that, she is saying, Ashanaya cha bhavan, you must be very hungry, my child. Therefore, Bhungshvastanam, drink my breast milk, piba, and shuchohara, destroy the lamentation, naha, my lamentation, and swakanam, all the relatives. Destroy the lamentation of all relatives and myself, my child. How? By drinking milk and then going and playing out with all your other fellow mates. Like that she is telling.
Naham tanuja dadrishe hata mangalate mugdasmitam mudita vikshanamana nabjam Kim vagatosya punar పునరన్వయమన్యలోకం నీతో గృహణేన న శృణోమి కళాగిరస్తే.
She's telling, Naham Tanuja, oh my child who is born from my body. She's telling, Dadrishe Hatamangalate. See, because of this greatest misfortune, it is our greatest misfortune that Mugdha Smitam Mudita Vikshanam Ananam Abjam. Your lotus-like face has dried away and your smiling, charming, smiling face is no more smiling. And your eyes are closed. They are not opening. Therefore, I understand. It seems to me, Kim va gatosi? Have you gone to some faraway place? Apunar anvayam anya lokam. You have gone away another loka for you to never come back again to this loka. Have you gone far away? Nito grihne na nashrinomi kalagya raste. Saying. And which is telling, I cannot hear your beautiful sound, my child. Therefore, I think the cruel Yama has taken you away to faraway place from where you will never come, she is telling. In this way, she was speaking to the child in great lamentation. Actually, this is moha or illusion, it is said, that she is seeing the connection to the child very strongly and unable to come out of the lamentation. Earlier in one shloka it is said, when all the ministers, the brahmanas, the servants and servant maids, they all had gathered there, practically everybody in the palace, even the other queens other than Kritadyuti, they were also coming and crying, showering some crocodile tears. They were also there. Everybody was assembled there. At that time, the way she was crying like a kurari bird. It said, you know, kurari bird sings melancholy. So her voice, weeping like this, and speaking harshly against God, that actually pierced the core of the hearts of all the people. Sometimes people become atheistic when some lamentation comes in their life. She and Chitraketu, they were very pious. But suddenly when some danger came in their life, she started talking against God. So strongly. Sometimes people take a picture of God and they throw it away. Sometimes they say, oh God, you have no eyes. Oh God, you have no ears. Simply because you say God has no eyes, don't think God will not have eyes. Yes, Jagannath eyes, big eyes, he's watching. He will always have eyes. So they say God has no eyes because suffering has come in their life. Correct, no? Therefore, we should not hover on the pious platform. It's a very dangerous platform. Because on a pious platform, somebody can again turn towards atheism. So, on a spiritual platform, na shochitina kankshati, it is said, one will know that in this world you find the soul enters into a particular body. See, in Prabhupada, the explanation purport to one Bhagavad Gita purport, he says that a brahmana offers dhanya, grains, as ahuti in the fire. Correct, no? So the grains are the ahuti for the fire. And the living entity who performs yajna like this, he goes to heaven. So the living entity is the ahuti for the heaven. And after his punya gets over, the jiva who is kshina punya, kshine punya, he is the ahuti for the clouds. And the clouds pour down rains. The rain is the ahuti for the bhumi. And from the bhumi, the grains come out. The grain is ahuti for the brahmana, you know, who is eating. But he will not eat it before it is offered to Vishnu in the fire. Therefore, the grain is ahuti for the fire. So in this way, the cycle is completed. The cycle of... So the jiva actually comes down through the rain of the clouds. And then he enters into the bhumi. He comes out through the vegetables and grains, and when the brahmana offers it to Vishnu and then he eats it, then he becomes a semen, and the semen is the ahuti for the woman. She gets in her womb, and then the child is born like this. So in this way, an intelligent person knows that the soul is called sarvaga. Sarvaga means he always keeps moving. He doesn't remain in one place. He enters into a body, and then parents are picking up the child, throwing the child in the air and enjoying playing with the child. But you can't continue playing all the time because the child will eventually go to 10th standard, 12th standard, engineering and all. Then you can't throw him anymore. Nobody can lift the child anymore, isn't it? There is only a certain stage. Then a different type of love parents show to child, because the boy becomes self-sufficient after that. He stands on his own legs and everything, especially beyond teenage. In this way, when you will find that from childhood to boyhood to youth, and then eventually old age, and then gradually the body shrinks. Beyond 40, 50, the body doesn't grow further. Does it keep on growing bigger and bigger? Do you think people come and touch the ceiling of the temple hall? Now I am 80 now, I cannot, you know. Do you think they become too tall? No, beyond 50, 60, body starts shrinking. Gradually, you know, people sometimes hold a stick also sometimes. So this is the body shrinks, and you know, they tell a story that a man had told Yamaraj that, you know, Yamaraj was supposed to give a benediction to one man, and that man had told Yamaraj that, see, the only benediction I want is you should send me a letter in advance that you are going to come within a week or within 3 days or something like that. Then I'll prepare everything. Suddenly he was struck down by death. So when he was taken to Yamaloka, he was very angry with Yama that you cheated me, you never told me in advance. So Yama said, see, I sent you so many intimations, you never took me seriously, he said. I knocked out one by one all your tooth. But you never wondered why the tooth are going off. Later on I sent another message by your white hair. When black hair became white hair, then you didn't take any notice. Then I sent you wrinkles in your body. You never asked why wrinkles are coming. Then I bent your body in such a way you have to hold a stick and walk. You never asked that. So he said, I sent you multiple intimations about your preparing, you know, about the need for preparing for your death. Life is a preparation, death is examination, it is said. But you didn't take all these things seriously, that is your problem. These are my intimations, he said. So these are the different ways Yamaraj gives intimations to general living entities. In case somebody didn't die like Harshashoka, you know, at the age of 5, somebody is living beyond 60, 70, 80, then these are other intimations we get. The body gives a signal. So when I see people going beyond 70, 80, I can see that somebody is saying that, you know, my leg is swollen. If I put my leg down, so they have to keep leg like this. Some people say my leg is shrunk now completely. It's shrinking too much. For some people it is swelling, for some people it is shrinking. But surely something is happening. That much is sure. Some disease comes, complication comes. Their ability to freely walk, move and do activity, it reduces actually beyond 70, 80. The body starts slowly falling apart. You can see that. Therefore, intelligent person should prepare, and other intelligent people should also know that nobody can permanently live in this world, in this body. Body has to come to pass. The body is simply a dress upon the soul. Today morning I was speaking on a verse, just today morning, very beautiful section of Bhagavatam. There he says, the soul has, you all know, two coverings. One covering you know is the gross body, correct? Panchamahabhut. Everybody knows it. Another covering, if I ask you what it is, what you will say? Subtle body of Manbuddhyahankar. But what he is saying, Manbuddhyahankar is well known. But he is saying there are 5 coverings upon the soul. Avidya, Asmita, Raga, Dvesha, Abhinivesh. 5 types of coverings. What is avidya? Avidya means completely ignorant about the difference between body and soul. There are many people in this world who don't know what is body, what is soul. They don't know the difference. They identify with the body. That is avidya. Therefore, you find in the marketplace, you find how many types of jeans, how many types of belts, how many types of watches, hairstyles, how many types of, shootings and, you know, dresses and cars and toys. And you will find everybody is conscious of everything except Krishna. You can see that. So, because ajnanata, that's the first one. Asmita means what? The reality is aham brahmasmi. I am spirit soul. But they are thinking, I am purushosmi. I am stri asmi. I am, you know, some people thinking, I am black asmi, I am white asmi. I am tall as me, I am short as me, I am mota as me, I am chota as me. Isn't it? I am educated as me, I am not educated as me. So this is called asmita. Asmita means not realizing aham brahma asmi. Other than that, thinking of all other asmi. Therefore it is called asmita. Like ahanta, we say now. Ahanta, mamata, asmita. Similarly. So, avidya is the covering of the ignorance around the soul. Then second is asmita. Third is raga and dvesha. Some people have such a dvesha. There are sometimes builders who are so angry with other men who are competing with them. Sometimes they will send some hoodlums to beat them up also with gundas. They are having such aversion if somebody is competing with them. Isn't it? But at the same time, on one hand, in their heart resides aversion, but they are also equally mad after opposite sex. One can see that. How amazing it is. These two are opposites. They reside in the same heart. Some mad, crazy attachment for opposite sex. And they have a mad aversion for some other competitor. So this is called raga and dvesha. And the last one is abhinivesh, means complete material absorption. What we read just now is example of complete material absorption. Material absorption means my son, my daughter, my wife, my husband, my mother, my father, completely absorbed in it. And zero knowledge about God. Zero information about the soul moving from one body to another. No consciousness about the punarjanma at all. So this is a main mera tu tera. This is called abhinivesh. Abhinivesh means material absorption. See, sometimes as sadhus, I go to preach to some people. One man I came across, an amazing man. He was a tall, hefty man. You know, the Sikh, they wear a turban. Wearing a big turban with a big belly. So he came. So I wanted to preach to him and talk to him. But he was in so much bodily consciousness. So he was telling, I think in those days he was working in Bajaj. He was telling, we produce scooters, we produce autos, we produce cars, we produce lorries. And he was telling, we produce this, we produce that. He was so much we. We means he was telling about the company. The company for which he is working. Some people identify with it so strongly. It appeared when he was saying he was producing everything from his belly only. His big belly. He was saying, we produce. Like that he was telling. My Lord. In fact, I wanted to tell him about, how Krishna is so wonderful and soul and Krishna relationship. But he was so much in Amara Bajaj consciousness. Amara Bajaj. So I also ended up in my mind was filled with all autos and scooters and lorries and everything. He pushed his abhinivesh into my head also. So there are some people so much absorbed in material life. Correct, no? So they don't think of spiritual life at all. Therefore, this particular verse says, Yada Ratir. Yada Ratir Brahmani Naishtiki. It says, if a person has awakened Rati for Krishna, love for Krishna, Yada Ratir Brahmani Naishtiki. Naishtiki Rati. Not just some deela dala bhakti, but very staunch bhakti. If somebody has awakened. And then he says, Acharyavan means one who has accepted Guru Acharya in his heart. See, Bhagavan means one who possesses six opulences. Acharyavan means one who carries Guru in his heart. His instructions, he has made it his life and soul. Such a person, what he does? He says, such a Acharyavan also awakens Viraga Jnana. He says, Jnana and Viraga, these two things he awakens. And not just Jnana Viraga, Ramhasa, he says. Ramhasa means a blazing fire of Divya Jnana and Vairagya. Vairagya means non-attached. See, Vairagya is not Tyaga. Some people mistake Vairagya to be Tyaga. They think Vairagya means one should give up wife, children, family and go to forest. They think that's not Vairagya. Ambarish Maharaj had wife, children, family and everybody. Prahlad Maharaj was also married, if you see. Tyaga means to physically give up and go to forest. That is Tyaga. But Vairagya means living in the midst of wife, husband, children, family and everything. But having a staunch taste for Krishna. Having a staunch taste. So, all these kings like Janaka, these are all quoted for that. This example. So, for such a person, these two things I told you. One who is carrying Guru in his heart, one who has awakened love for Krishna. You know what happens? It says, just like a wood, inside wood resides fire. Invisibly. But when that fire is lit up, it burns down the wood. Similarly, for a person who has awakened love for Krishna and, you know, love for Guru and following instructions, for such a person, these five coverings of avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha, abhinivesh is burnt away. He says, he will not take another body again. He will go back home, back to Godhead. He says that. So therefore, we need spiritual abhinivesh. Like people have material abhinivesh, we need spiritual abhinivesh. Just like you can see Akrura while entering Vrindavan, his mind was completely absorbed there. He was telling, oh, I am entering Vrindavan today, how fortunate I am. Thanks to Kamsa, who gave me a chance to see Krishna eye to eye. And he said, when I enter Vrindavan, I will see Krishna and Balaram, you know, milking the cows, and they will look at me and call me lovingly, oh, Uncle Akrura. And as soon as they come towards me, I will see Balaram dressed up in bluish dhoti with his white body like lightning. And I will see Krishna wearing pitambar, dazzling golden dhoti with his peacock feather on his curly locks of hair, with his bluish sapphire like form, with their charming faces like sun and moon. I will immediately fall at their feet. And I am such a sinful person working for Kamsa. Will Krishna accept me? Or kick me away? No, he will not kick me away. Because he is residing in everyone's heart, a super soul. He will pick me up and embrace me and destroy all my sinful reactions. So in this way, I will get to worship my two lords. So as he was thinking like this, it's called Akrur Manorath. This is spiritual Manorath. There is a material Manorath, there is spiritual Manorath. Like a mother, after sending the child to school, is doing material Manorath of the child. अभी बेटा गया, अब स्कूल में पहुंचा होगा, अभी टीचर डांटते होंगे, जिसने कि इफ एनी टीचर डांट्स माय चाइल्ड आई विल कैच द टीचर. सो द पेरेंट्स आर थिंकिंग ऑफ द चाइल्ड आफ्टर सेंडिंग टू स्कूल. सिमिलरली यंग बॉय इज मेडिटेटिंग ऑन अ गर्ल और गर्ल इज मेडिटेटिंग ऑन अ बॉय. दे हैव मटेरियल अभिनिवेश. दे आर ड्रीमिंग मोर देन वॉट इज ट्रू. इमेजिनिंग मोर देन वॉट इज ट्रू. बट एक्चुअली अक्रूरा इज एक्चुअली ड्रीमिंग अबाउट कृष्णा. Prabhupada said, in the night when you are going to bed, if you read Krishna book and go to bed, you will get Krishna dreams. Prabhupada said. Therefore, in all the ISKCON temples, in the night when brahmacharis would take milk, they read a few pages from Krishna book, so that they can meditate on Krishna while going to bed. So, when Akrura, thinking like this, suddenly he saw the Vrindavan dust had started. Mathura had come to an end, Vrindavan started. He jumped off from his chariot and rolled on the ground in the dust of Vrindavan, giving up his prestige as a minister, giving up fear of Kamsa, lamentation for his family members who may be put behind the bars by Kamsa. He didn't care for anything. So, Akrura's mentality is the right mentality. So, that type of absorption or bhav, bhakti bhav, on the spiritual side we have bhakti bhav, on the material side we have moha. Moha is the illusion of this world. Therefore, kings like Ambarish Maharaj and Janaka Maharaj, Kunti Maharani, these are all worshipable personalities because they were living in the world as a grihastha. They had their duties to do. They had their children to raise. But those things did not make them forget Krishna. They always remembered the Lord. In fact, their bhakti bhav was so much that they made even the child feel so much affection for Krishna. Even the child started, like Pandavas, how did they learn love for Krishna? From their mother Kunti. Therefore, when Krishna is telling about Matras Parshastu Kaunteya, Shitoshna Sukha Dukkada, he is saying Kaunteya, why? Because look at your mother Kunti, how much she tolerated, learn from her how to tolerate, Krishna is telling to Arjuna. So, Kunti tolerated the difficulties and absorbed in Krishna. So here we find moha of the king and queen for the child, and that material abhinivesha is making them forget Krishna, forget God, forget all their piety. They have thrown all the piety to the wind, and they are and she is talking ill of the Lord, like this, speaking very strong words. Now,
Shri Shuka Uvacha Vilapantya Mridam Putram Iti Chitra Vilapanehi Chitra Ketur Brisham Tap Tapto Mukta Kantho Rurodaha.
Yeah, read the translation.
Shri Shukdev Goswami is continuing. Accompanied by his wife, who was thus lamenting for her dead son, King Chitraketu began crying loudly with an open mouth, being greatly aggrieved.
Yeah, see, very amazing thing. First of all, Kritadyuti, you know, cried very loudly, and her hair became disheveled, and her this kajal tears of the eyes, it glided down her cheeks, mixed with the kumkum of her chest, it was flowing down very piteously. She was weeping like that. In the meantime, Chitraketu, king, when he was coming, he heard the news, what happened? Like that, he was very amazed. So his eyes became dilated, and while walking, he fell several times, Chitraketu. He would fall, again he would get up, surrounded by his ministers, and his hair also became disheveled, his turban fell off, and he could not believe the fact. As soon as he saw the dead child, he fell at the feet of the child, with his face on the feet of the child. And he didn't cry only, he had fallen unconscious. And after some time of unconsciousness, then he started waking up and then crying. So when he was crying, this queen is quoting it. She is telling, "Oh my son, look at the king, how is he crying, how is he lamenting?" So seeing him lamenting, she lamented. Now it is saying that seeing her lament, who is lamenting? The king is lamenting. So it reinforces each other. When I cry, you cry. When you cry, then I cry. Therefore there should be somebody who doesn't cry. Correct, no? Like if you see, when all the Vrajavasis were crying, that Krishna was in the coils of Kaliya. Correct, no? At that time, Yashoda was jumping into the water. She told all the gopis, "Leave me! No, I want to jump in. I want to go and catch my son." But all the gopis, they are all catching and pulling her behind. They were not leaving. So when Balaram saw that some of the gopas and gopis and Yashoda, they are trying to jump into the water, he caught hold of their hand. And he pulled them behind, physically. When Balaram is pulling, they couldn't resist. Balaram means Balaram, you know. With full bala he is pulling, nobody can escape. And some of them were loudly weeping. To them, Balaram gave Ashwasan by speaking to them. "Hey, don't cry, don't cry. Krishna will come back very soon." And there were some who were not jumping in, who were not loudly shouting or anything, but were keeping mum, but crying tears. Continuous stream of tears, like cows. They didn't say anything, but they were all weeping tears, seeing Krishna's situation. Some of the coward men also. For them, Balaram, what he did, he laughed. He said, "You are crying? Now I will laugh now," he said. Then Balaram laughed. The crying people are amazed. If Balaram is laughing, there must be some meaning. How he can be laughing? So he defeated their crying by smiling. He defeated the loud shouts of the people by arguing with them and proving to them Krishna's supremacy. Similarly, those who are jumping in, he pulled them out. He responded according to the people's behavior. So, therefore, all the Vrajavasis, seeing Balaram's confidence, they became quiet. They understood that it seems that Krishna is doing some trickery as usual. This fellow has a habit of doing something. And then Krishna, of course, jumped over the hoods of Kaliya and dancing. Then all Vrajavasis became very happy. But still, Nanda Baba was still concerned. He was asking Balaram, "This fellow Kana, did he come near Yamuna and Kaliya extended his tails like this and pulled him in? Or without Krishna coming, near Kaliya came into into Vrindavan and then picked him up and took him into this Yamuna?" Like that, even Nanda Baba was still concerned. So you will see that there, as Balaram was very confident, here nobody is confident. Chitraketu is weeping, queen is weeping. It is said that all the servant maids and servants, everybody was weeping also. There was a tragedy everywhere. See, whenever we go to anybody's home where somebody has passed away, generally in India, people cry. Sometimes if the person is very old, nobody is crying, they arrange a crying party sometimes. You know that? They pay some money also for the crying party. So generally they think we are supposed to weep or cry or something like that. Naturally, if some very near and dear ones passes away, we will cry. And it is not wrong. Even Abhimanyu cried. I mean, Abhimanyu passed away, Arjuna cried. Correct, no? Although Arjuna is a great devotee. Yeah? It's not wrong to cry. But at the same time, the passing away of a relative need not only mean tragedy. Yeah? That is also a time for everybody to increase the mangal or the auspiciousness of the home by coming together, singing the holy name of the Lord, chanting the holy name, studying the Garuda Purana or studying the Bhagavat Purana, and also calling Brahmanas and giving some charity. So one should, therefore you will find those 13 days, there are lot of prescriptions given to be performed by the family members. The whole idea is what? They should be bustling with spiritual rituals, activities, so that it has a twin advantage. It helps them to forget the recently passed away relative on one hand, because if we keep thinking about them, we cry more and more. It helps you to forget. On the other hand, on the positive side, we accumulate bhakti sukriti more and more by engaging in spiritual activities, more and more by that. And you become more and more enlightened also. So there was nobody right now to do that, but as it is said here, read the next two translations.
The king and queen lamented. All their male and female followers joined them in crying. Because of the sudden accident, all the citizens of the kingdom were almost unconscious. Yeah. When the great sage Angira understood that the king was almost dead in an ocean of lamentation, he went there with Narada.
I am going with Narada Muni. In the coming 15th chapter is a very vital chapter. Sri Shuka Uvacha Uchatur Mrita Kopante Patitam Mrita Kopamam Shokavi Bhutam Rajanam Shokavi Bhutam Rajanam Bodhayantau Sadutti Bihi. Yeah.
Sri Shukdev Goswami said, while King Chitraketu, overcome by lamentation, lay like a dead body at the side of the dead body of his son, the two great sages Narada and Angira instructed him about the spiritual consciousness as follows.
See, he was so weak. He is lying down. It seems that he is awake also. Now, earlier he was unconscious, then he was weeping, and now he is awake now. But he is not even able to get up. He is practically down. Physically also so weak. He has lost all his confidence. He was the only son, only child. He has gone away. So he is lying down. So now these two are going to speak now. Angira Muni is first speaking. Ko yam syat tav rajendra bhavan yam anushochati tvam chasya katama srishtau Puredanim ataparam. Yeah, see, he's asking, Kasyat, who this child is to you? He's asking. You may say, oh, this is my son. You may say, oh, Rajendra. Bhavan, yam anushochati. You are lamenting for this child. What is the connection of this child to you? And then he's saying, Tvamcha asya katamaha srishtau. He's saying, and not what relationship you have with him right now, and now you may say that you are related as father and son, but do you think this relationship existed before? He's asking. And then he will say, does it truly exist now? Will it continue in the future? See, what is the meaning of this? Try to think about it. For example, your child, when he comes into this world, the first relationship he has is only one relationship with the mother. Mother, 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 everything mother only for a child. And she introduces the child to father. Then the child sees that this father goes out and he brings grocery, he brings fruits, he brings juices, he brings to home. He's a good man. He's supporting my mother. Very good. Huh? He must be a good man. Correct, no? Child doesn't know much about the father. The child thinks, I love my mother very much and this fellow is helping my mother. Huh? Like that the child thinks. Gradually when he grows, he understands, oh, father is also very important. Huh? Mother, father, both. And then he develops a third attachment to brother and sister and people like that. Now for next 20 years or 25 years, he doesn't know anything beyond this. Correct, no? But then you find, the marriage engagement happens. See, ask anybody, a man or a woman, before marriage engagement, do they have any connection with their spouse? They don't even know who is going to be the spouse. If you show a boy some photos of 4 or 5 girls, you know, he will say, should I go for a city girl or a village girl or a good girl, this girl, and he's seeing all that. He has not decided, but once the spouse is fixed, then the marriage engagement happens. And just wait and watch within the next 3 to 5 years what attachment they develop. Before marriage, they don't even know who they are. But after marriage, they develop a very strong bond. You will see that. So that is a new attachment that he develops. And then if the husband and wife come together and we get some 4 children, then 4 more attachments they develop. Huh? Isn't it? Then as many attachments multiply, we are worried about that much dangers in this world. You know, like you're going in a train. I have seen in Pune railway station, somebody is going, mothers, fathers come and they come with a kerchief, saying Tata, weeping like this. Isn't it? Because then after going there, they have to go and say that Ponchu Gaya Abhi. Huh? So, a number of connections we increase in this world, that much, there is also fear of safety, fear of security. You can see that. So that is what he is saying here. Before this son was born to you, you had no connection with this soul before. Now when he became your son, you developed attachment. Now when he is dead and gone, you have no more connection. So, in this chapter, he will establish a very great truth, which you will see there as we go ahead. Similarly, Shankaracharya asks one of the questions. Kaye kanta kaste putra samsaroyam ativa vichitra kasyatvam kahakuta ayat astitvam tadiha chintaya bratah. He's telling, oh my dear Jiva, you have come into this world. Similarly, another Jiva, namely your wife has come. Another Jiva, namely your children have come. Another Jivas as your mother and father have come. They are all Jivas roaming in this world, wandering here and there. Like this, for example, sometimes you go to your Pune station, and the train is a bit late, 1 or 2 hours late. So you may go and sit in the waiting room. During that time, you meet some people, talk to them, what's your name, what is my name, you share something. And the train timing is put up, train is coming. So you take your luggage and go for your train. They take the luggage and go for their train. Then what is the connection you have after that? And that example is given in the next verse, you see. Yata prayanti samyanti Sroto vege na balukaha samyujyante viyujyante tadakale na dehinaha. In a river, sometimes 4 or 5 leaves fall together from a tree and they all go together some distance and they get separated and going to different places. Then they may again combine with 3 or 4 leaves and go, like that they go. In the same manner, one soul is told, you are the mother soul, you are the father soul, you are the son soul, you are the daughter soul, you are the dog soul. 5 bodies in one family. All of them stay together for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. After that, when they separate, then they may go to other family. Like I was doing the Shraddha for my father. On the 12th day, we are supposed to go to one temple outside. So I had gone to one Shiva temple. So there they performed one puja. They call it as a Rishabha. Rishabha means they have one dry coconut. They have a dry coconut. And lot of puja was done. At the end, I am supposed to push the coconut like this. So the coconut, the dry coconut, it ran away that side. So I asked the pujari, what is this? Why did I push it? He said, now your father is liberated from the home. He said, now he won't have the ties to home. Now he can take another birth, another place peacefully. Otherwise, if you all pull him by your crying and weeping, he may wonder whether I should come back here only or something. Now he is free now. He is given the freedom now. So in this way, officially using the pujas and everything, a person is liberated from the family. You understand, huh? Now he said, now he has no mamakar with the family. Now he can go to another place where he is supposed to go, according to his own karmas, where he is supposed to go. And this is true for all of us. We all have to at one time quit the particular family and go to another destination. But one important thing, although we all are like travelers in this world, in a journey, coming together to a restaurant to meet each other and then pushing off to different places. When we are together in the Varnashrama, the husband, wife, children, mother, father, it's like a close-knit family. Everybody is supposed to help one another and become Krishna conscious. Because if you become Krishna conscious, then you can meet each other in the spiritual world. And I used to tell people, if you don't become Krishna conscious, you'll get scattered away in the material world. And like one fellow goes to North India, one goes to South India, one goes to America, one goes to Australia. But if you are all Krishna conscious, in Goloka also you can meet again. You will see your wife is also there, your husband is also there. You know, children are there, parents are there, everybody will meet. Therefore, better you become Krishna conscious. So of course, we don't know whether we will know who was who in this world. But surely we'll be there if you are all practicing seriously together. But in case we are not going back to Godhead, we all get carried away in this world. And think about it, in one lifetime I had a fish mother, fish father. You know, in case fish mother fed you something, you don't even remember. Or you had even if you had a human mother, human father. So in this way, Narada Muni enlightened Chitraketu about the nature of the soul. Come to the fourth verse. Yata dana su vaidana bhavanti na bhavanti cha evam bhutani bhuteshu choditani shamayaya. See, here, amazing thing is telling that the father and mother who beget the child, they are not actually the proprietors of the child. And for that he is giving an example. Prabhupada writes in the purport, second para, fourth line, he is writing, sometimes a child is born even to an impotent father and a sterile mother. And sometimes a potent father and fertile mother are childless. Indeed, sometimes a child is born despite contraceptive methods. And therefore the parents kill the child in the womb. And then Prabhupada is asking, why, when contraceptive methods are taken, why don't they act? Why is a child sometimes produced so that the father and mother have to kill it in the womb? Therefore, we must conclude that our arrangement of so-called scientific knowledge cannot determine what will take place. What is enacted actually depends on the supreme will. It is by the supreme will that we are situated in certain conditions in terms of family, community and personality. For example, we all can think about these questions. Did you choose your face cut, or the face cut was cut for you already? Think about it. You look into the mirror, you have a certain type of face cut. It was already given to you. Did you choose your bodily pigment color of your skin? You know, some people are fair, some are black. Some black people put fair and lovely and want to become fair. In America, some people put black powder, they want to dim their color a little bit. They don't want to be too fair also. They don't like. In America, they like black people. In India, people like being more fair. But this pigment of skin, you didn't decide. It was given to you. Similarly, your parents, did you choose? You know, when you opened your eyes, your parents are already there. They are also awarded to you. Therefore, we are not the supreme controller in choosing. You can choose a job. You can choose a car, model of your car. You know, you can choose a wife or a husband. You can choose a bungalow of your liking. But you can't choose mother, father or your face cut and all these things. Therefore, here he is telling, a husband, wife, sometimes husband is potent, wife is fertile. Still, they are not getting children. They don't know why. He is saying, therefore, the child which is born, even father, mother don't know that whether they are going to get a male child or a female child. Whether they are going to get a child at all. So he is telling here how in this way the Lord is the one who impels the potency in the man to be able to give the seed to the woman, and thereby we get a child. Like for example, say one of you take a pen and you put a signature on the paper. Does the signature belong to the paper, or does the signature belong to the pen? To whom does it belong to? Pen or paper? Yeah? Which one? The person who is putting the signature. So father is compared to pen, mother is compared to paper, because father is putting the semen seed in the mother's womb. So father is like the pen puts the ink in the paper, like that. So neither the father nor the mother own the child is owned by the Lord. Therefore we all are sons of the Lord, Prabhupada says, sons and daughters of the Lord. Ultimately we belong to Him, because He has brought one man and one woman and brought them together, and using them He has begotten the child in this world. This point is going to be powerfully developed as we go ahead. You will be amazed. Read the fifth translation.
Quick. O King, both you and we, your advisors, wives and ministers, as well as everything moving and non-moving throughout the entire cosmos at this time, are in a temporary situation. Before our birth, this situation did not exist, and after our death, it will exist no longer. Therefore, our situation now is temporary, although it is not false.
Yeah. So everything in this world is temporary. Our bodies are temporary. The things which we are enjoying in life, they are all temporary. We will be separated from them, or they will be separated from us. For example, I have a bank balance. I think it's my bank balance. But you will see that the money that I earn will be stolen away by somebody, taken away. Or if it is not taken away, money will remain in the bank, and one day when I pass away, I will leave the money. And in the same manner, everything in this world. Therefore, everything is temporary, he says. Then he says, Bhutair Bhutani Bhuteshaha Srijat Kyavati Hanticha Atma Srishtair Asvatantrair Anapekshopi Balavat. So here he is telling that just as a boy at the beach creates something in which he is not interested, the Lord also, keeping everything under His control, causes creation, maintenance and annihilation. And how He does that, He explains. He creates a child by engaging a father to beget a son. And He maintains the child by engaging a government or king to see the public welfare. And He annihilates through agents for killing such as snakes. Therefore, individually people may think that they are the creator, maintainer, annihilator. For example, sometimes a mother father say, oh my son, we fed you food for the last 20 years and raised you. Therefore, you are our property. But actually, mother father have no ability to create food. They cannot do. Actually, the rice, the wheat, the drinking water and the juices, these are all produced by the effect of the sun and moon, which are the two eyes of the Supreme Lord. So the Supreme Lord, through His two hot eye and cool eye, He is producing all these grains, fruits, cereals, drinking water, sunlight, moonlight, all these things. With that He is maintaining all the 8.4 million species of life. So He is the Bapanu Bap, father of all fathers. And our Bap, what is He doing? He is taking from Krishna and giving it to child. Correct? No, He is only like an instrument in Krishna's hands. Even our mother, when a newly child is born, does she know how the milk comes in her breast to feed the child? Even she doesn't know any mechanism. When the child comes, it is Lord who arranges the milk to come in the mother's breast. Then she feeds the child. You see? It's amazing. Therefore, one poet sang a poem. Jab daant na the, tab doodh diyo. He said, Jab daant honge, tab daane nahi doge. Like that he is singing. You understood the meaning? Hey Lord, when I was born as a newborn baby, when I had no teeth, You kept my food in the form of breast milk of my mother. Now when I become grown up and when teeth comes, teeth also You have only given me. And with the teeth I feel like biting chapati and eating, so I am sure that You will give chapati also to me. Because You kept milk before, now You will keep chapati also. Like that is saying. And it is true also. God is actually the supplier. Is it not true? So, neither is man, woman, creators, because creation is not in their hands. Choditan, Ishamayaya, he says. Even the Lord doesn't impel the man to create a child in the womb of the woman, they have no ability to beget. In fact, many times man, woman unite and suddenly child comes out, that's the time they come to know the child has come. Many times they don't even know also. There are very few parents who are such spiritual parents that they do Garbhadhan Sanskar. Otherwise, many times man, woman, out of passion, they beget a child. So the coming of the child is impelled by the Lord. One boy was asking a question. Prabhuji, I can't believe in all this. He said, why? He asked. He said, How, you know, you said about somebody becoming beautiful, somebody becoming ugly. He said, Jiva, you know, here you see this small boy, he is very beautiful, you know. And he said, he is beautiful because his mother and father are beautiful. Therefore, it is not because of his past punya, he said. I said, are a fool, you don't understand. When a Jiva has a punya to have a handsome body, Lord will send the Jiva to that family where mother and father are beautiful. So that you will get, God is more intelligent than you and me. Don't think you are very smart. Therefore, God knows exactly who should be sent where. If mother, father are supposed to, you know, suffer some bad karma, God will send such a Jiva to their home who will give them trouble. Yeah, when the child is born, parents say that, I don't know what pop karma I did, this fellow is born in my family, you know. They say like that, no? So some child will come and give trouble to the parents. Like I have seen in our village, you know, one boy used to, you know, play this tick, 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 tick with a metallic plate, you know. So his grandmother used to say, hey, don't make noise. And from here he will go here and make noise this side, tick, tick, tick. So she used to say like that, I don't know what pop karma I did, this fellow, God has sent this fellow to trouble me. So, in this way you will see, God knows exactly, see, if five jivas are in one family, each of them have to suffer something and enjoy something. So, by getting a child, mother, father enjoy. By seeing the smiling child, actually the child is not smiling at them, the child smiles on his own. How many of you observed it? Small newborn baby, he smiles also, cries also. Not that you come in the front, then he smiles many times. Of course, after growing up, the smile may be responsive. But I am telling in very early stage. But many times, because they have mamta, because that they will say, oh, he's smiling at me, they will say. And anything the child says, they will decode it as something very wonderful. Because of mamta only, because of attachment like that. So in this way, they get some sukha also, they get dukkha also. And that is exactly designed. Sukha dukkha is written in our Brahma Lipi. It's brought like that. So, therefore he is telling, creation is done when Lord impels parents to beget their child. And maintenance is done, aham bija pradapita. So, chaurasya lak yoni, all are maintained by Supreme Lord only. He is the maintainer. Are you feeding the ants in the hole? Are you feeding the elephants in the forest, African jungle? Prabhupada used to ask like that. We can't feed our own children also. We have no ability unless God gives grains through the earth. So God is actually the real father. And a destroyer, who destroys? Lord has agents. Like somebody dies by a snake bite. Somebody dies by disease. Somebody dies by old age, whatever. God has agents to do that. So in this way, ultimately all the three are done. Like, you know, whenever somebody passes away, what one should think? Oh God, you gave me this person. This person made me so happy. Now this person is gone away. So you gave and you took away. Therefore, I have no adhikar over this jiva. These jivas around us, they are not connected to us. They are only connected to God. Because they are part and parcel of whom? Are they your part and parcel? That point is coming now. Part and parcel point is coming now. Next verse. Dehena dehino rajan. Dehat deho bijayate. Bija deva yata bijam. Dehyartha yiva shashvataha. See what he is saying here. Dehi ke deh se, dehi ke deh dwara, dehi ka deh utpanna hota. I will tell you what it is. See, dehi means the soul. Dehi means the soul. One who is residing in the deha is called dehi. So, dehi ke deh se means what? That means the mother's soul is called dehi and mother's body is called deha. Correct, no? So, dehi ke deh se, because in mother's womb the child comes. Another dehi ke deh dwara, which means the father, who is also a dehi, a soul, from his body he gives a semen particle into this deha of the woman, isn't it? So, tisre dehi ka deh utpanna hota hai. You understand, no? In English, I will tell you, one soul has one mother body. He is seated in the mother's body. Another soul is seated in father's body. So, when the mother's body, when this mother soul and father soul, these souls are allowing two bodies to unite, then semen is passed on to the woman's body. Then that gives out a third body for a third soul. So, which means, these three souls are all part and parcel of Krishna. But when this soul, third soul, gets the body from this mother and father, he only gets the body, not the soul. Soul is still part and parcel of Krishna only. But when mother and father give out this baby out of the mother's womb, they develop attachment, thinking that this is our part and parcel. That is not our part and parcel, that is only part and parcel of our flesh and bones, flesh from the mother's body. And father has given the semen. And mother also cannot say that this fleshy body of my child is my flesh. She can't say, because her flesh and child's flesh both belong to Durga Mata. And she owns all the 24 elements. And Durga is not independent. She is a Chayavayase Bhuvanani Bibhrata Durga. She acts like a shadow potency of Krishna only. Ultimately, it all belongs to Krishna. Even the bodies also. Like that he is telling. You understand this point? Dehi ke dehu se, that means the mother. Dehi ke dehu dwara, that means from the father's seed. Dehi ka dehu utpanna hota hai. So anybody who can understand this truth clearly knows that I am a driver of this body. Just like, for example, imagine the children play with this, what do you call this? China clay. You know China clay? Say, for example, the mother has got this much China clay. Now the child sometimes wants to play. She knows child will throw it here and there and waste it. Sometimes a new China clay packet has come. She doesn't want to waste everything. She only gives a part of it. You have seen that now. So imagine if the mother is taking China clay and making something. Father is also making something with that. If the child says, I also want, then she snatches a part of that so that he can play himself. So here three people are sharing the same China clay, correct, no? Similarly, mother has one material body, father has another material body. These two material bodies are coming together and the child's soul takes some part of this, both the bodies, and he has his body. But all the material components of all the three bodies belong to Krishna, and the souls are part and parcels of Krishna, and none of the soul is part and parcel of anybody else other than Krishna. How many of you understood this? Clear, yeah, okay. It's a solid philosophical point it is. Go to the 8th verse. Deha dehi vibhagoyam aviveka kritapura jati vyakti vibhagoyam yatavastu nikalpitah. Very important verse. Read the translation purport.
Divisions of generalization and specification, such as nationality and individuality, are the imaginations of persons who are not advanced in knowledge. Purport. Actually, there are two energies, material and spiritual. Both of them are ever existing because they are emanations from the eternal truth, the Supreme Lord. Because the individual soul, individual living entity, has desire to act in forgetfulness of its original identity since time immemorial, he is accepting different positions in material bodies and being designated according to many divisions of nationality, community, society, species, and so on.
Yeah, see, he is saying, Jati Vyakti Vibhagoyam, he is telling. For example, we all say, oh, they belong to Brahman class. Oh, these people are lower class. Oh, these people are higher caste. Even in Brahman also, there is higher Brahman, lower Brahman also. In that also. Or sometimes, he is from abroad. So in this way, we categorize people according to jati. But what he is saying here, sometimes when you take a clay, from the clay, you make a house. You have seen a clay house. Clay bricks they make and make a house. Or sometimes they make a kullad. You have seen. Or they make a brick. Or they make a pot. So these are all made of clay, but they look different externally. But ultimately they are all made up of clay only. Similarly, he is telling, from the same 24 gross metal elements, woman's body is made, man's body is made, you know, all the different caste people's bodies are made, all the nationalities of people's bodies are made. Ultimately the ground material is the same only. There is no difference. So one should see this. When you see this, then you will know that the soul's difference from body can be easily understood. So what Durga Mata does, she takes the conglomeration of material elements. She takes, like we make chapati gata, we make. From that you take one gola, you take. Isn't it? So she takes one gola out of that conglomeration. Then she inserts one soul into it. And then she sends a soul. Now you chalo, go. You take one animal body, you take one plant's body, you take one human body. And human also, like when you make chapati, sometimes chapati becomes very white, sometimes becomes black. Similarly, Durga Mata makes some black people, some white people externally, isn't it? And some people, you press the nose, they become Japanese. You know, isn't it? Like that, she just takes one gola of matter and inserts one soul and makes the bodies and tell her, now you go and do your activities in three gunas. She sends like that. So he's saying, therefore, one should not take this material body too seriously. Metal body is, you know, metal body is just like a machine. In this bodily machine, the soul who is sitting, he is permanent. He is a child of the Lord, a son of the Lord. He is the part and parcel of the Lord, imperishable. Like Krishna is imperishable, the soul is also imperishable. But this body is a perishable thing. Childhood, boyhood, youth, old age and death, it's finished. Again, like our earth mixes with earth, water with water, fire with fire, and air with air, ether with ether, that all mixes. And the soul is out of the body. Then it takes one more body, second body, third body. Just like you had a Luna, you leave the Luna, you know, you take a Maruti car. When you get more money, you may buy maybe another bigger car, maybe central car, maybe Benz car. Maybe if you become very rich, you will buy a foreign car. Isn't it? So you keep on changing vehicles. Similarly, the soul also changes bodies. Why to take the change of body so serious? Like yesterday you were wearing one dress. Today you are all wearing a different dress. Do you cry every day when you change the dress? You don't cry. You know that, you know, dress is different from me. Similarly, when somebody dies, they are just changing the dress. They are leaving one body and going to another body. So one should see like that, he is saying. Shri Shuka Bhuvata Evam Ashwasito Rajan Chitraketor Vijokti Bihi Vimrujya Panina Vatram Adimlanam Abhashata. Yeah.
See, Shukdev Goswami continued, thus enlightened by the instructions of Narada and Angira, King Chitraketu became hopeful with knowledge. Weeping his shriveled
face. Not weeping, wiping.
Wiping his shriveled face.
Now his weeping is over now. He is not going to weep anymore now. Now he is wiping his face now. Yeah.
Wiping his shriveled face with his hand, the king began to speak.
Shri Rajovacha Kavivam Jnana Sampannau Mahishtau cha mahiyasam avadhutena vashena avadhutena veshena guda viha samagatau. Yeah.
King Chitraketu said, you have both come here dressed like avadhutas, liberated persons, just to cover your identities. But I see that of all men, you are the most elevated in awareness. You know everything as it is. Therefore, you are the greatest of all great personalities.
See, one good thing about Chitraketu is very humble and very submissive and well-behaved with saintly people. Because of which, he is becoming more and more fortunate. He is getting their association. Charanti yavanau kamam brahmana bhagavat priyaha Madrisham Gramya Buddhinam Bodhayon Mattalinginaha. He is telling Madrisham Gramya Buddhinam. I am like a village animal, like a village dog. He is telling about himself. See, he doesn't even say I am like a Pune dog or a Bombay dog, because Bombay Pune dog go in very posh cars. You know, they eat very costly biscuits. But he is saying Gramya Buddhinam. I am like a in another verse he will say, that verse comes in another place, he says, Tasmad Yuvam Gramya Pashor Mama Muda Diya Prabhu. Like that he will say, Gramya Pashu, he will say. But why he is saying, Gramya has another meaning, connotation. Gramya means materialistic. Gramya Pashu means a person whose mind is always materialistic. He doesn't worry about God or going back to Godhead. He always worries about worldly things, materialistic things. So that's called Gramya Buddhi. So he is telling that I have a Gramya Buddhi, but you two of you, that is Angira and Narada, you are roaming around, you are Bhagavat Priya, very dear to the Supreme Lord. And you have come for what? Bodha Yonmattalinginaha. You have come here to give me the wisdom about, you know, soul and God and the relationship. And see, in the 12th verse, next verse, is giving a long list of the names. Kumaro Narada Rubur, like that it goes on. Angira Devalo Sitaha Apantara Tama Vyaso Markandeyuata Gautama and all names actually. So this is a translation. Like Mahajana's list. So Prabhupada says that like Mahajana's, these are Mahajana's plus some more saintly people. And then he is telling that verse which I told you, 16th verse. Tasmat yuvam gramya pashor mama mudadhiya prabhu andhe tamasi magnasya jnana deepa udiryatam. See, andhe means blind, tamasi means material world. Material world itself is dark and I am also blind, is telling. Which means material world may be dark, but some enlightened people have eyes to see. But material world is already taking everybody down and I am also blind, is telling. I am tamasi magnasya, I am absorbed in materialistic world. Please, jnana deepa udiryatam, lit up the torch light of knowledge in my heart. I have mudadhiya prabhu, I am a fool actually. He's saying like that. And you both are actually elevated souls. Please, become my guru and enlighten me. Shri Angira Vuvacha Aham te putra kamasya putra dosmi angira nrupa yesha brahma sutas sakshat narado bhagavan rishihi. He says, my dear king, I am the same Angira who approached you some time ago, and it was me who gave you the son as you asked. And this is Narada, who is the direct son of Brahmaji. And then he is telling. Read the next translation quickly, the 18th one.
My dear king, you are an advanced devotee of Supreme Personality of Godhead. To be absorbed in lamentation for the loss of something material is unsuitable for a person like you. Therefore, we have both come to relieve you from this false lamentation, which is due to your being merged in the darkness of ignorance. For those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge, to be affected by material loss and gain is not at all desirable.
Yeah. You see, one government officer, he lost his wife. He must be around 55 or something. And the wife must have been 50 or something like that. So when he lost her, he became very, very broken hearted. So His Holiness Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj had taken me to the house, and this man was in lungi and banyan, and he was sitting on the ground waving his hands and legs, beating on his chest and crying. So repeatedly he was crying, and Maharaj lifted him up and said, you see, you know, you have come to my classes and you are chanting 2 or 3 rounds also. You should not lament. Nainam Chindanti Shastrani, Nainam Dahati Pavakah, Nachainam Kledyan Kyapur, Nashnushitumarata, all that Maharaj told him. The soul cannot be cut by weapons, it cannot be burned by fire. So your wife, the soul in your wife's body has left and gone to another destination, do not worry. But he was not able to leave because he was waving his hands and legs and beating, crying. He said, seems that he had admitted her in some government hospital where one of his doctors were friends who knows him well. So he was convinced about that doctor. He wanted his wife to take treatment there only. But the wife actually did not like the conditions of the hospital. What do you call it? The sanitation condition or the situation. She wanted to be shifted to better and more costlier private hospital. So now when she passed away in the government hospital, so now his lamentation is what? Oh, alas, 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 I should have taken her to private hospital. I did not do. I made her die in dissatisfaction. It was because of my blunder she passed away, he said. Is that correct? No. Actually, in a private hospital, the doctors were giving best facility, but attention was not so good. In that government hospital, he had his own friend who could treat well. He was at the top level. So he put his heart to find out the good doctor, but despite his, you know, paying attention to the wife, she passed away. Like that Maharaj explained to him. Maharaj said, the fault is not yours. You did your best. But in this world, you will see when people lament, they have their own reason to lament also. And you can't solve them. They will not agree also. Maharaj tried his best to explain, and on the way back, Maharaj said, then this fellow was telling, I had thought that, you know, I will live till 90 and she will live till 85. We can live a very long life and happy life. I thought real life begins after retirement, you know, because till retirement, Bhagavad Gita, everybody is running. So we both thought, and I loved her very much. And she, And Maharaj said, yes, I agree that you loved her, but what to do? Everybody has their expiry date written. You know, just like in every bottle, you know, every medical bottle, it's written an expiry date. Similarly, for every metal body also, there's an expiry date written, and one has to agree with that. And that too, people leave the body without even announcement also. Cut, karke, one day they go away. So we have to be prepared in our mind that death can come at any time. But he was not a person to be pacified. Very difficult. Maharaj said, on the way back, he said, after 2 weeks you will get cooled down. People cry for some time, he said. So, in this way, sometimes we develop deep mental attachments. But after hearing Narada and Angira, this person, our Chitraketu, is coming out. Tadaivate param jnanam dadami grihamagatah jnatmanyabhinivesante putrame vadadamyaham. Read it, translation.
When I first came to your home, I could have given you the supreme transcendental knowledge. But when I saw that your mind was absorbed in material things, I gave you only a son who caused you jubilation and lamentation.
Yeah. And then, you see, in the next verse, he's giving a long list. One's kingdom, military power, treasury, servants, ministers, friends, relatives are all causes of fear, illusion, lamentation and distress. They are like a Gandharva Nagara, a non-existent palace that one imagines to exist in the forest. Because they are impermanent, they are no better than illusions, dreams and mental concoctions. So, I will explain it after reading the next verse. The 24th one. Drishyamana vinartena na drishyante manobhavaha karma bir dhyayato nana karmani manaso abhavan. Read that.
These visible objects like wife, children and property are like dreams and mental concoctions. Actually, what we see has no permanent existence. It is sometimes seen and sometimes not. Only because of our past actions do we create such mental concoctions. And because of these concoctions, we perform further activities.
Okay, I'll explain this. This is a very deep phenomenon, very important phenomenon. Say, for example, you are going to some farm community, farmhouse. Nowadays, there are many farmhouses in the outskirts of the city. But somebody tells you, this farmhouse is in the beginning of a jungle. So don't go deeper in that jungle. There are some leopards are there, you know, tigers, you know, elephants. They walk on the road also. It is not good for you to go. And there are plenty of varieties of different color snakes in the forest. And after hearing that only, you shiver. My Lord, why did I come to this farmhouse? And they also tell you, keep the door closed also. Inside also some snakes may come. Take care. They tell you. So, that night when you are sleeping, suddenly you get a dream that you are opening the door and you are going to the forest, the same road where they told you not to go. And you are walking inside. Suddenly you find in the opposite side of the road, you find a lion. The lion is doing. Then you run in the opposite side. And the lion also is chasing after you. Then opposite you are running, an elephant is coming from the other side. Now you don't know where to go. You run in the third road. You know. And then you find there are cobra snakes on the way. So after seeing too many, you scream and you jump off from that place. Then you find it was all in a dream. Then you jumped off from the bed, rolling on the bed. Then you see there is nothing. But now you wake up, you are breathing. And you wonder, how I experienced this dream. See, in dream, the faraway things come near. In dream. Correct? The faraway things come? Yeah. Things which you are attached to, but which are difficult for you to get, they come near you also. For example, many people go to watch movies. Some men are attracted to certain actresses, some women are attracted to some actors. So they know very well, in my life, I cannot come near this person. But if they watch a movie and then come home, in the dreams, those persons come near. Correct, no? So our attachments also come near, our fears also come near. Correct, no? In the subtle dreams like that. But when they come near you, is it reality? No, it's only a dream. Similarly, right now in our Jagriti state, our attachments have caused those objects to come near us, which are actually not near us. Jagriti is also another type of sapana for the soul. Jagrati, Swapna, Sushupti, Samadhi. Right now also, this is also like a dream only. Why? For example, in this life, say I come across some mother and father, I associated with them. Now they have gone away to some other destination. And I will go after some time to some other destination. Everybody. So our contact with these objects, that means they are seen sometimes and not seen other times. So such objects are not substantial. For example, you lie down on the terrace of your house and look at the clouds. The clouds sometimes they will form into an elephant shape. And you will think it's an elephant. And you sleep for some time, another half an hour, you open the eyes. Instead of the elephant, there will be a big marble bungalow. It will appear like that. Then you sleep for some time and open and see. It will be a big tree shape. That means the shape of the clouds keep changing. That is not substantial. And it keeps on changing. Similarly, and sometimes you look at the sky, there is no cloud only. The whole sky is clear completely. That means it is seen sometime and not seen at other time. Now think about in your life, the balloon that you are attached to in your childhood, it was seen for some time and now you don't see the balloon anymore because you have no attachment to it. Correct, no? Similarly, the tricycle came. Now how many of you go in a tricycle now? That period is gone for you. It came, stayed for a while, went away. Similarly, bicycle came, stayed for a while, went away. Now car has come. Maybe you will become a big man and get an aeroplane also. So they come, they stay and go away. Not only things, people also. Our great-grandmother, great-grandfather, grandmother, grandfather, mother, father, brother, sister, friends, everybody, you will see. So these things are seen for some time and not seen other time. Therefore, they are not substantial. And the body has become disintegrated. When a person dies, you burn the body, it just becomes ashes. Krimi Vidbhasma Sangitam. So the body that we watched for some time is somewhat like a mental structure. Due to our own attachments, Krishna brings those things closer to us for some time. So we can associate with them and then they all get far away, they go away. They don't stay. Therefore, since they are not substantial, we can't take it seriously. Like that he is telling. Similarly, Harshashoka child came to our King Chitraketu. Why? Because he was attached. So now coming back to the point. The dream, see in your Jagrati state, whatever things you are attached to, they come in your dream state. Correct, no? And whatever things you fear in the Jagrati state, they come in the dream. Correct, no? Similarly, he says that the soul has a subtle body covering him. In that subtle body, there are attachments. And based on those attachments, some things are meaningful to you. For example, I am Brahmachari now. And I have nothing to... Now, there are many things of this world now which I have nothing to give and take with. For example, I am a mechanical engineer now. I am not going to ask, where is my... I used to use the equipment. What do you call that? First year we used an equipment. I even forgotten the name also now. Okay, mini drafter, is it? When I go home, I am not going to ask my father, where is my mini drafter so I can use it? Because that life is gone for me. But if I am attached to being an engineer, then God will give me a mini drafter in my hand. You understand? Whatever you are attached to or fearful of, those things only will come near you in this life. Now, in case I am becoming attracted to go back to God, then Krishna will come. Radha Vanda Chandra. He comes. Then he will bring devotees. Then he will bring Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. I will be surrounded by those things which I am attached to. Correct, no? And I will also be surrounded by those things I am fearful of or averse to. Therefore, you will see that the material aversions we have to give up. And spiritual attachment we have to develop more and more. So, we have spiritual attachments. If you develop, you come closer to God. On the other hand, if you have material attachment and aversions, they will all come, hover in front of us for some time and they will all go away. And you will find yourself a loner in this world. Like that he is telling. And that's what he is telling King. My dear King, now he is telling, see the 25th verse. I am Hidehino Deho Dravya Jnana Kriyatmakaha Dehino Abhibhida Klesha Santa Pakrat Udahritaha. Yeah.
The living entity in the bodily conception of life is absorbed in the body, which is a combination of the physical elements, the five senses for gathering knowledge, and the five senses of action, along with the mind. Through the mind, the living entity suffers three kinds of tribulations, Adi Bhautika, Adi Daivika, and Adhyatmika. Therefore, this body is a source of all miseries.
See, powerful purport Prabhupada gives. What Prabhupada is saying, the aham buddhi comes because we are attached to bodies. For example, even as a grihastha devotee, a husband, what should he think? My wife, my children, they are all put in my custody by the Supreme Lord. They are actually part and parcels of Supreme Lord. But He has kept them in my custody. So I have to protect them, I have to care for them, I have to show affection to them, I have to mold the home in such a way that we all will go back home, back to Godhead. That is right consciousness. But if he becomes attached to only their bodies and he is forgetful of their souls, then by their separation, he will be broken hearted completely. Yeah? And by their coming close, he will become plunged in attachment. So attachment and aversion will come. See, he gives an example here. The fifth line of the purport. The mind sometimes induces us to think that if we purchase an automobile or a car, you know, we can enjoy the physical elements such as earth, water, air, fire, combined the form of iron, plastic, petrol and so on. For example, say you got a new car. Who will not be happy when you get a new car? Huh? You know, some rubber smell is coming. Huh? The plastic covers are not yet torn also. Huh? As soon as the car comes, everybody is very happy. Huh? Everybody wants to sit. And the child is saying, I will sit in the front. Huh? And the wife is saying, no, beta, I will sit along with your father. I'll keep you on my lap. Huh? They have lot of joys sharing when a car comes, isn't it? So there is an attachment to the car develops. That's what Prabhupada is saying here. Yeah? And then working with the five metal elements, panchabhutas, as well as with our five jnanendriyas, like eyes, ears, tongue, and five action senses like the hands, legs, we become involved in the material condition. Thus we are subjected to the tribulations known as adhyatmika, adhidvika, adhibhautika. The mind is the center because the mind creates all these things. As soon as the metal object is struck, however, the mind is affected and we suffer. For example, with the metal element, the working senses and jnanendriyas and karmendriyas, we create a very nice car, but when the car is accidentally smashed in a collision, the mind suffers. And through the mind, the living entity suffers. You understand, no? So, as much as we develop attachment to car, imagine one day when you are going in the car, suddenly a big lorry comes to the opposite side. So, you take a left turn and you go and hit a tree and the left side of the car is smashed. When you come out of the car and the car is like, you know, one side flattened or dent has come. So it's a new car, you have hit against a tree, you feel very sad. And your degree of sadness will depend on your degree of attachment. Yeah? If somebody thinks, thank God, only car is smashed, I am safe. Yeah? Everybody, your wife, children, everybody is safe. Somebody can think like that. Yeah? But somebody is very attached to car. The mind is attached to car, so the mind suffers. And because the soul identifies with the mind, the soul also suffers. That's the reason. Now you extend the car example to relatives. Somebody's father passes away. That is also, the father's body is also made up of Panchamahabhut only. Correct? No? When that passes away, depending on how much attachment our mind has to that body, that much our mind suffers. Like that is telling. Ultimately, it's all a play of Panchamahabhut. Like that is telling. One should not take this very seriously. Tasmat swasthena manasa vimrishyagatim atmanah dvaite druvartha vishrambham tyajo pashamam avisha. Translation.
Therefore, O King Chitraketu, carefully consider the position of the Atma. In other words, try to understand who you are, whether the body, mind or soul. Consider where you have come from, where you are going after giving up this body, and why you are under the control of material lamentation. Try to understand your real position in this way, and then you will be able to give up your unnecessary attachment. You will also be able to give up the belief that this material world or anything not directly in touch with service to Krishna is eternal. Thus you will all obtain peace.
In this way, after giving, so Prabhupada says the jiva in this world is like a ghost haunted man because he develops attachment, aversion to many things of this world, things also, people also. Actually, we all have to be aware that we are all given a term in this material world. Say 60, 70, 80, 90 years. And that term is only for one purpose. The soul belongs to the spiritual world and material body belongs to material world. From dust thou art born and dust thou shalt return. Like that in Bible it is said. The material body is created from the earth and it will go back to earth. And the soul comes from the spiritual world and is supposed to go back to the spiritual world. If it is identifying with the material body, it will be born again and again. But after saying all these things also, it was observed by Narada that Chitraketu has come out of his lamentation but not fully. Then Narada decided that I will give him the mantra. Mantra of the Lord's names alone will help the tattva to sink in. Because The tattva sometimes is very philosophical. Not everybody is able to digest it and realize it. But when you chant the Maha Mantra regularly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, that gradually softens the heart. When it softens the heart, mind becomes clear, heart becomes clean. Then one is able to see the truth very well. Therefore, he gave him the mantra in the next verse, 27th verse. Shri Narada Uvacha Yeta Mantropanishadam Praticha Prayato Mama Yam Dharayan Saptaratrat Drashta Sankarshanam Vibhum. Translation, yeah.
The great sage Narada continued, My dear king, attentively receive from me a mantra which is most auspicious. After accepting it from me, in 7 nights, you will be able to see the Lord face to face.
Yat padamoolam upasrishtya narendra purve sharvadayo brahmamimam dvitayam visrijya sadhyastadiyam atulanadikam mahitvam Prapur Bhavan api param nachiradu paiti.
My dear king, in former days, Lord Shiva and other demigods took shelter of the lotus feet of Sankarshan. Thus, they immediately got freed from the illusion of duality and achieved unequaled and unsurpassed glories in spiritual life. You will very soon attain that very same position.
Yeah. So Narada Muni is making Chitraketu Shiva's god brother. Is what Shiva is the devotee of Sankarshan. Now he also is going to become a devotee of Sankarshan. Who? And then how much period of time Narada said you will get darshan of Sankarshan? Only 7 days. And only thing is 7 days you can't eat any food. Only water is allowed. But even then it's not an ordinary thing. You drink only water for 7 days and you can see Lord face to face. So, then he very faithfully chanted this mantra which is given in the next chapter. And he saw Lord Sankarshan face to face. And very, very beautiful dialogue between them. So, what I was thinking was, I will combine this chapter 16 and 17 together and do this chapter of Shiva, Parvati and Chitraketu. Chitraketu getting cursed from Parvati. That's a very important chapter. Amazing lessons on Vaishnavaparath. So, that I will combine with this chapter, Chitraketu meeting the Supreme Lord because this is a very exhaustive chapter, 16th chapter, but we will not do everything. But there are some very, very important examples which come in this chapter. So I will do a part of this chapter and then go to the 17th chapter, which is Parvati cursing Chitraketu, many lessons for us to learn. So I will do it as the next Krishna Rasayana. So today we have concluded this chapter successfully. I thought I was wondering whether we will be able to finish. Therefore, I did not give time to read the translations many times because I wanted to make sure that the examples are well understood. So, I had digested and understood whatever from acharyas I heard and I spoke it today. This chapter is supposed to enlighten us and elevate us and bring us to the point of understanding that in this world, life is like a journey, like a train journey. Somebody gets down at Kadiki. Somebody gets down at Shivajinagar. When Pune comes, we have to get down also. Somebody will get down at Dound. And this gadi keeps going. As the time keeps going on, and different people have to get down from their respective material bodies. The material bodies grow and they eventually perish. And it is everybody's body has perished in this world. So nothing to wonder. But the most important thing Prabhupada says, everybody is born, everybody dies. But how you live your life? Shankaracharya Prabhupada says lived 32 years only. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived 48 years. But just see the kind of effect they have produced in the world. Even in those short years. There are trees which live 5000 years, do you know? But these trees have seen Buddha coming and going. They have seen Krishna coming, speaking Bhagavad Gita and going. Still they are standing in the same place. They are saying, okay, they are not doing anything. Because they are not becoming awakened. On the other hand, you find Shankaracharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all in such a short time, they had a powerful impact on the world. So what is important is not how long you live, or how you are born, how you die, but how we spend our in-between time, the quality of our life, that's the most important thing. So our life is considered of golden quality if at the end of your life, Ante Narayana Smriti. If you can remember Lord Narayana, and that will not happen overnight. Like we say, Rome was not built in a day. You can't do it suddenly. Like one of my boys was asking, Prabhuji, can I take a gun at the age of 70, 75? And say, Hare Krishna! I said, I will give a shooting. And I'll go back to Godhead, he said. Then I told him, see, it's not a question of just saying Hare Krishna, but you have to say with bhav. Therefore, he says, Yam Yam Bhapi Smaran Bhavam Tajra Ante Kalevaram. And for developing that bhav, you have to attend many, many lectures. You hear, you read Bhagavatam, you chant the holy name, purify the heart. Gradually, our heart will become golden. From an iron quality, it will become golden quality. So, we will pray that this regular meeting of Krishna Rasayanam and going through the sacred pages of Bhagavatam along with its verses and discussion that we do helps all of us to keep our heart pure and keep sublime and help us increase our attraction to Lord Krishna. So, the next chapter, when we read, next time when you come, not only Chitraketu is speaking to Lord, Lord is also responding to Chitraketu back. Such amazing, sweet prayers. Very, very wonderful prayers. So, we will begin with the prayer. In case the prayer swallows our time in one class, then the subsequent Krishna Sayanam I will do, Parvati, Chitraketu and Shiva. Probably in two sittings I will do. Shri Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, Jai.